Text number 48. Yashyaikan ishushita kala matava lumbya jivanti loma vilaja jagadandanata Vishnur mahan sa iha yasya kala vishesho govindamari purusham tamaham bhajami. Yasya, whose, eka, one, nishvasita, of breath, kalam, time, atta, thus, of Alambya, taking shelter of. Yashyaika nishvasita kalam atav Alambya. Jivanti, live. Loma vilaja, grown from the hair holes. Jagadandanata, the masters of the universes, the Brahmas. Vishnu Mahan, the Supreme Lord Mahavishnu, Saha, that, Iha, here, Yasya, whose, Kala Visheshaha, particular plenary portion or expansion, Govindamadi Purusham Damaham Bhajami. Brahma and other lords of the mundane worlds appearing from the pores of hair of Mahavishnu remain alive as long as the duration of one exhalation of the latter, Mahavishnu. I adore the primeval Lord Govinda, of whose subjective personality Mahavishnu is the portion of portion. Purport, the supreme majesty of the subjective nature of Vishnu is shown here. So, do you want to give some commentary? So you can pass him the microphone. Hare Krishna.
There's not much of a purport because, in one sense, it's fairly self-evident. But the idea of this verse is that Brahma, who is so great, in the second canto of Bhagavatam, where Narada Muni is asking what Brahma can instruct in spiritual knowledge through glorifying him a little bit, he says to Lord Brahma that you hold this universe like a walnut. So large. Lord Brahma is so powerful, he holds the universe like a walnut in his hand. And there is, in our universe, there's a Brahma with four heads. Of course, you know the story when Lord Vishnu called all the different Brahmas, some with 10 heads, 100 heads, thousands of heads. So there's so many unlimited universes, and each Brahma is only alive, even though he's so great, and this cosmic manifestation goes on for what seems eternity to us. This Brahma is only alive for the duration of one exhalation of Mahavishnu. The whole cosmic manifestation that we think our little life is so important, what to speak of. The whole cosmic manifestation, one day of Lord Brahma is 4,320,000,000 years. Night is the same duration. He lives for 100 years each year, 365 days. So this Mahavishnu, one exhalation, the whole cosmic manifestation comes into existence. So many partial devastations, what to speak of, little dynasties and countries and elections and so many things that we think are important. The whole universe is coming out. And this Mahavishnu, one exhalation, just a fraction of a second for him. The whole thing is finished. Breathe in, it's gone again. Yet this Mahavishnu is just an expansion of an expansion of an expansion of an expansion of Govinda, Supreme Personality of Godhead in the eternal realm of Goloka Vrindavan. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Thank you very much. That's very nice. For me, hearing that really effect,
that so many different considerations and seeming problems aren't as important when we step back and see how insignificant we are. In fact, Srila Prabhupada once instructed one of his temple presidents something about that, about how here we are in one tiny little... Well, this planet, this universe is one tiny little mustard seed in a whole bag of mustard seeds. And within that, there are unlimited planets within that one little mustard seed. And our little planet's like a speck of dust floating in that. And then on that one planet, there are all these cities with prime ministers and presidents and kings and queens everywhere. And then there's this one little city. And in that one little city, there's so many things going on and planning commissions. And then there's one little temple. And then you think you're so great. But, you know, from the point of view of the sage that was described in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Srila Prabhupada told us about the hairy sage who had hairs all over his body. He was living outdoors in very austere conditions, and some people who came to worship him because they revered his austerities and his great learning and everything started to wish that he would have some shelter to live in and wanted to build him something, but he said, oh, I'm not here for very long. But as it turned out, according to some benediction he had, that he would live for one lifetime, one day of Brahma, for every hair on his body. He was a very hairy sage. But for him, because of his vision of eternity and his relationship with this world, he saw that even only as an instant, that there was no need for him to take too much trouble to build a shelter or anything like that, because he said, I'm not here very long. I'm just passing through. And in the course of, you know, spiritual time also, it's like this is described by Lord Chaitanya, yugayatam nimishena chakshusha pravishayatam shunyayatam jagatsarvam govinda vidahename, that a moment seems like 12 years or more when one's feeling separation. So an advanced stage of Krishna consciousness is where one feels separation from Krishna. And in even a moment that goes by, feels that it's a long, long time. There's a story about one of Lord Chaitanya's associates who had, during the time when Mahaprabhu was showing his... Mahaprakash, he was revealing that he was the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He was calling all kinds of devotees and offering them benedictions. And it had become obvious that he hadn't called one devotee named Mukunda. And the devotee said, why haven't you called Mukunda? He's such a sincere servitor, and he's waiting for your benediction. And Mahaprabhu said, oh, he's a rascal. He goes to all these different other spiritual groups, even ones that are preaching Mayavad-tinged philosophy, and he's there associating. He said, I reject him. And so then they had informed Mukunda that he had been rejected, and that he wasn't accepted in, and the devotees were asking on his behalf, when will he be able to come back? And Mahaprabhu said, not for 10 million births will he come back into my association. But when Mukunda heard that, 10 million births, that he'll have the association, he began to dance and say, I will get. And the devotee said, but we said 10 million, Mahaprabhu was rejected you for 10 million births, and you're dancing in ecstasy. Why is that? He said, at least I will get, even if it's 10 million births, it doesn't matter to me. I will have his association, I'll get his mercy. And they went back and told Mahaprabhu that what his condition, after they told him that he won't have his association for 10 million births, he began to dance and sing, I will get. And in that instant, Mahaprabhu said, bring him here. He will get now, because of his mentality that it was insignificant to him. There's that, we were talking about those symptoms of bhava, What is it? Ashabandha, Samutkanta. Ashabandha means great hope, that one is always carrying that great hope within his or her heart that Krishna will bestow his ultimate mercy. Ashabandha, Samutkanta means eagerness. Has a great eagerness to get the mercy of the Lord, and that he's eager, he's hopeful that the Lord will bestow his ultimate mercy. And for a person in such a condition, even if he understands, it may take 10 million births. Okay, as long as I will get. So actually, it's insignificant compared to anadi karma, which is the description of our sojourn so far in the material world. How long have we been here? Oh, forever. Anadi, it's a beginningless time. I said we can't even calculate how long it's been. So Mahaprabhu had told Sanatana Goswami that living entities are like logs floating in a huge river, and they're going forever down the middle of the river. Somehow or other, one of those logs might take a different trajectory and come up onto the shore, be washed ashore. Out of all the millions of logs, maybe one or two, somehow they come to the shore and they get washed up. So he said, similarly, the souls that are coming through this world, they are sometimes coming in contact with a pure devotee of the Lord. Somehow they come in contact with devotional service. And even before that, the Shastra says that coming to the human form of life is very rare. Out of all the different species of life, just in your backyard, there are probably more ants than there are human beings on the planet. You know, it's a very rare thing to get a human form of life. It's described, labva sudurlabham idam bahusambhavante. Labva, you get it. It comes automatically. We didn't really sign up for it anywhere. We just ended up coming out as in human form of life, like winning the lottery suddenly. Labva sudurlabham. It's very rarely achieved, actually. Even though it comes automatically, it's hard to get. Very hard to get. Sudurlabham. Idam sambhavante, after many, many births. So just the fact that in the course of anadi karma, we've come to the human form of life. And then Mahaprabhu described how there's, in the human civilization, even in the collective human species, not even civilization, there are civilized and uncivilized people. And amongst the civilized people, those who take to varnashram, this regulated system, something of religion, only half of those take it seriously. And of those who take it seriously, there's only a smaller portion who are very sincere about going back home, back to Godhead. And of those who are very sincere, a small portion become benedicted by coming in contact with pure devotees and become pure devotees themselves. So it becomes rarer and rarer and rarer. So ways to look at our life, although there may be so many problems and difficulties, and inevitably there are, because nowadays in Kali Yuga there's too many moving parts. Everything's going every which way. Too many deadlines to meet. Oh, I was supposed to pay that yesterday, and because I didn't pay it yesterday, now there's a $10,000 fine, or whatever. I mean, there's so many things troubling us in the age of Kali. In fact, it's compared to a foaming ocean of faults. But there's one great thing that if we keep in mind this power of bhakti and the rareness of coming in contact with pure devotees and being able to utter the holy names of the Lord, as the mother of Kapila Dev said, Aho bata shwa pachato garyan jivagrin vartite namatubhyam tepustavaste juhuvu sasnur arya brahmano churnama granantiyate, that there are, how wonderful it is that those who, just on the tip of their tongue, they can keep the holy name. They're so, such rare souls that we can take it that in their previous lives they've already performed all kinds of sacrifices. They've done every type of pilgrimage. They've done all types of Vedic ritual, sacrifice, everything. Or you can take it that someone who's induced to chant the holy name, even on the tip of their tongue, Hare Krishna. that person is more qualified than someone who's, or as qualified, more qualified than somebody who's performed all those kinds of rituals and things like that. So that's Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy, that he's distributing that and making available to everybody. And for those devotees who have hooked on to this great boat, which is crossing the ocean, climbed aboard, then they can tolerate all kinds of anomalies created by the age of Kali, and also feel that this, whatever time it takes, at least now I'm on the boat, and whatever past karma is still harassing me, as it's there too, that the devotee, although we take to devotional service, we get into the process, and even that, at that point, still there's the residual karma that's left over from our previous life. When we take initiation, it's described how we attain a new type of body, a sadaka deha. And then whatever karma is there, actually, the devotee takes it as Krishna's mercy on him. And Sridhar Swami describes it like that, that actually it's no longer the regular kind of karma that everyone else is getting. It's a special kind of karma that Krishna's custom made just for that person to kind of like, you know, a fisherman, expert fisherman plays out a fish. You know how they know how to let out the line a little bit, and then they bring it back in till the fish, he's so exhausted, he said, okay, I give up, you know, reel me in. So Krishna knows how to reel us in, finally by, you know, frustrating us just enough through the use of our past karma. He knows exactly what kind of proclivities we have for enjoying the material world on a subtle level, this way, that way. And he'll create situations for us so that we ultimately give all those things up. And oftentimes it's kicking and screaming. But for those who are in the surrender process, tatenu kampam susamikshamano bunjana evatma kritam vipakam, they see, they welcome that. They see that when karma is coming, they let it come. And they just accept it. They say, this is Krishna's mercy on me. Like Parikshit Maharaj, after he had lost his temper, uncharacteristic, but somehow or other, when he ran into that great sage who was sitting meditating in the forest, and he was, Parikshit Maharaj was hunting in the forest, and he came into the hermitage thirsty, which was unusual also, because his senses were under control. But somehow, by the arrangement of the Lord, his senses became dried up, he was thirsty, he had to have some water, and he walked in. And you know how when you're one sense is demanding, you want it now. And he saw the sage, and the sage didn't greet him. And he just stayed in samadhi. And he didn't offer him anything, even a seat, kind words, he just stayed there. So he lost his temper, and he picked up a snake, Parikshit Maharaj did, and he hung it over his neck out of disgust. And then he walked out. And later on, the son of that Brahmin had found out, and he was an impudent little boy, puffed up by the brahminical power. And then he cursed Maharaj Parikshit in front of his little friends, just playing. But at that time, the Brahmins still had this power. This was the beginning of Kali Yuga, right? The day Krishna left the planet, and then when this curse happened, it ushered in the age of Kali, that the brahminical class lost its actual stature because it was misused. And this was indication the age of Kali was coming in. And the little boy, Sringhi, cursed Maharaj Parikshit, the great pure devotee king. And how did Maharaj Parikshit take it when he heard the news? He knew something was coming because he knew there'd be a reaction to what he had done. And when he had heard that the little boy, Sringhi, had cursed him to die in 7 days, he accepted it. He didn't protest. He said, let the snake bird or whatever magical thing this Brahmin has created bite me at once. I simply wish that you all go on speaking about Govinda here in the pastimes. And he took it that this is Krishna's mercy on him. He said that I am too attached to material life. I'm a king. I have all these things. And now Krishna has mercifully come to me and pulled me out. So the devotees, even when some extreme reaction comes like you're going to die, the devotees think, oh, Krishna's come to save me. It's the loving hand of Krishna, you know, taking me back to Godhead. The devotees take it like that. Tatenu kampam sushamikshamana bunjana ivatmakutam vipakam. They're expecting the mercy of the Lord, and it comes even as extreme adversity. That the devotees don't see it as something bad, but they see it as Krishna's kindness, that how he's taking him out from this world. So the perspective is important, and remembering this verse of how actually we're just tiny in comparison to the whole universe. But what's great is, although we're tiny, kesha grashatabhagasha sharamsa sadrisatmakam jiva sukshma surupo yam sankyatito hi chitkana. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told Sanatana Goswami, who are you? You're a tiny, tiny little particle of spiritual consciousness, chitkana. But what is the greatness of the soul is when he turns his attention towards bhakti and he begins to serve purely and give. When the little jiva is trying to take, then he becomes covered over by the material energy. It's ridiculous, actually, ludicrous, trying to enjoy, to be a big enjoyer, and he becomes implicated. But when he turns around towards Krishna and begins to give his energy towards service, then he becomes great, actually. That's how, through that channel of giving in bhakti, he actually attains his full glory in connection with Krishna. So, remembering this verse of how we're simply a tiny part in the universe, but by our connection through devotional service and remembering how fortunate we are and expressing gratitude, fortunate to be in the association of devotees. Today is Devotee Appreciation Day. So the greatest asset we have is our association with the devotees. Where would we be without the association of devotees? And here we are. As you see, we're sitting right in this little industrial building which has been transformed into an outpost of Goloka Vrindavan, because the Lord is here and his devotees are here and the vibration's going on constantly in this place. Who could have imagined this little junky little place would become a little outpost of Goloka Vrindavan? And who knows how Krishna's arranging for devotees to be attracted here? Under all kinds of different circumstances, devotees get inspired to come here, some by accident, some seemingly by accident. It's not an accident that devotees come here. And then we have the great fortune of having the association of the devotees here. I always wonder about it because I always think how it's a miracle that it all goes on. You know, everyone's coming and going all the time. Since I've been in ISKCON in 1973, I look back at all the temple situations that I've been in, and none of them are the same now. I mean, the temple in 1973 in San Francisco, remember how nice it was, and it felt like home. And you look around, all the devotees, they were your family members, and we had a little skylight in that building. In the morning time, we'd have the full morning program, and then the light would be coming in, and we have Tulsi Puja with the light coming down, and then everyone had prasadam together, all the devotees, and it's such a relishable thing. And of course, how everyone came together like that, how Srila Prabhupada came to America and made that clarion call that brought all those souls together at that particular time. And now, where are those souls now? San Francisco doesn't even have a temple right now. It's not there. It's moved here and there, and now those devotees are in different places. We're all being moved to different places according to all kinds of forces and circumstances. So while we're here in the association of devotees at a particular time and place and in association, we should take full advantage and appreciate how Krishna has given us the association of devotees, and that we're very fortunate. And really, I've said this before, but I had this stark realization one year at the Prabhupada's Disappearance Day festival when we went down to the Fogel Ashram for prasadam after we did all our offerings to Srila Prabhupada and did an abhishek. And then there's about 3,000-4,000 devotees taking prasadam at one time. And they're all in this gigantic prasadam hall. it looks like Howrah Station, maybe bigger. And you look in and everyone's lined up taking prasadam, and the vibration, and everyone's talking some Krishna Katha, eating prasadam. And when I looked in there, I had this feeling that it's a layover station for Goloka. And everyone's sitting in there just waiting to go back to Godhead. And that's this quick lifetime that we have. It just goes by with a flash. So it's so rare. So what an opportunity in this whole mix of things being manifested out of the breathing of Mahavishnu, which incidentally is the reason that he breathes out, is to give everyone a chance to come in contact. He sends all kinds of avatars. There's Shaktivesha avatars, there's Guna avatars, there's Leela avatars and Manvantara avatars that come, half a million of them in a daytime of Brahma, you know, come into the world in all different ways. And it's simply because the Lord's canvassing. He wants to give everyone a chance to hear the vibration, to hear that flute song, which comes in the form of the Maha Mantra, non-different from the flute song of Sri Krishna. Come in contact with Bhagavad Gita so they can revive their memory. So those of us who have come in contact with that, we're very fortunate, and we should feel humbled by that, that somehow we've been given an opportunity to hear that vibration, to live in it, to associate with devotees who are eager to hear it. And so we should respect, worship, honor the devotees, and appreciate them. And in that way, our devotion will grow out of gratitude. And if we don't have anything else, we may not have great intelligence or power of learning or even much time, or we may be afflicted by our schedule or our home life association or any kind of thing. But if we keep this intense gratitude in our heart for our association with devotees and for remembering what a rare thing it is to receive what we've received, if we cultivate that over and over again, then we won't make offenses when we're associating with devotees. I remember when I first came to Krishna consciousness, I worshipped every devotee. I remember thinking about the devotees before I came, and just when I'd see one, my heart would practically melt. I remember the first time I came to the temple and realizing I was going to enter into the temple, and I saw one devotee walking down the street with his robes, and I just wanted to go fall at his feet. And we should feel like that all the time. This is actually the fact. Those who have just chant Hare Krishna one time, Mahaprabhu said, you should see them as not ordinary. They're the greatest among the whole population. What to speak of those who are chanting in a regulated way, or those who are attaining some, you know, status in the spiritual world by their, you know, valiant efforts to give up their all other activities just to spread Krishna consciousness and help other people chant Hare Krishna. You know, Rupa Goswami says, you know, we should give everything to those types of people. We should give our life and become dedicated to those types of people. So we should see the devotees like that, cultivate that, and see how rare they are, what great souls we've had an opportunity to come in contact with, have that appreciation. And in that kind of gratitude and appreciation, then we won't make aparads, and Krishna will give us easy passage on the path of devotional service. Just avoiding aparads is very important. And when we attain the chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, what comes along with it? The avoid the 10 offenses. It's not just chant, but it's chant and avoid the 10 offenses, the first of which is to criticize the devotees who have dedicated their lives to chanting the holy name of the Lord. And the sure antidote for that kind of poison is to always glorify those devotees and appreciate them, whatever they're doing. So, today's Ekadashi. It's also a Devotee Appreciation Day. So let's sing this song from the Bhaktivinoda Thakur's Sharanagati on page 61. His great Ekadashi song, Shuddha Bhakata Charanarenu, the dust from the pure devotee's lotus feet, which is the Haribo, which is the root cause of devotional service. We were reading yesterday in the Chaitanya Charitamrita that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said that there's only one way to actually come to devotional service, and that is by attaining the dust of the feet of devotees, of the pure devotees. And that's That is the essence of devotional service, is to get this association and to serve these great devotees.